welcome. I'm Victoria Schneps, president of Schneps Media, and proud to have an A-lister to be able to talk to this morning. But it's especially sweet for me because he's a Brooklynite, born in Brooklyn. And I am too, and I'm proud of my roots, and you are too. And I think, you know, being president of Pause of War has really founded, it seems like, in your passion for animals and the other passion of helping people. In Robert's case, helping the wonderful people who protect us, our veterans and people from active military members, as well as first responders. And you have done an extraordinary job creating something that has such an effect. And I know you've gotten a lot of recognition, but we want to hear about you and your roots. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you, Vicki. Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to ask you about your own kind of passion for animals and helping people and where it started. Tell me about you growing up years in Brooklyn. Was that something that was a passion of yours from childhood?
It was. I realized it when, you know, you're hanging out with young kids, probably no older than 7 to 8 years old, and kids are doing cruel things to little creatures. And I realized it didn't make sense, and it affected me. And then I realized that what these other kids were doing in the neighborhood was just inappropriate and unacceptable. So I became like a little neighborhood advocate for anything living. And I was a protector. I was the first one to get called at 10 years old when someone had a little kitten on their stew, or a dog was found in the streets. They knew I would take it home, and, you know, my parents would call the right people, so forth and so on. And I just grew a passion. My whole family were always, you know, big animal lovers. But I took it to the next level. I did.
Well, you know, I think you having that in you and then creating something from it. Was there anyone in your family that was a leader like you are? Was there somebody who, you know, inspired you to move to the next step of leadership? Because not only did you create a business, but it sounds like you had the business and you were doing this. You created Pause of War. I'm curious about its founding.
So my dad was certainly that leader. Unfortunately, I lost him at the age of, well, I was 16 years old. My dad passed suddenly. But and then my father-in-law was also a leader and an animal lover. But as I grew into a young adult, I started finding people who you kind of connect to people who you know have that same passion. And that, I think, was a thriving force, because now you're not just one person. So if I had a hobby, let's say golf, and I was a young man, I would probably look to find other golfers. But in this case, I was looking to find other compassionate people who wanted to make a difference in animals' lives. And it was successful. I found people who, and there weren't a lot, I have to tell you, although there's a tremendous amount of animal lovers out there, just finding the ones that really want to make a difference was not easy.
Starting any organization is not easy. Now, I know you were in the restaurant business making a living. And how did this creation of Pause of War, what gave you that idea?
So with my animal passion and being self-employed, I was able to do the things I needed to do to start the foundation and start rescuing animals. And years ago, after the war started in Afghanistan, I was asked to help some soldiers bring some dogs that they found, strays, back to America. And I had never brought any dogs out of Afghanistan before. And it was my first foray into it. And successfully, I was able to get these dogs out of Afghanistan into America to reunite with those soldiers. And then it just started to spiral. I realized there was so many more active military members in Iraq, in Afghanistan, that needed that same support. They could play no role in getting those animals out, whether it was a cat or a dog. And fast forward, I think it was 2010, we started hearing from a lot of Long Islanders who were telling us, we wish we knew you existed when I was in Afghanistan in the early, early days, because I left an animal behind and forever I feel the guilt and I have a broken heart over it. And I realized that these now veterans, these same people are suffering from PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, and they needed something other than just a pat on the back and support from the VA. They needed a service animal. So those dogs that we were bringing over from overseas, when we were bringing over, let's say, four or five, and there were only two soldiers, but there was a little family of dogs, then we would place them with those veterans as service dogs. And that's how it started to evolve.
Wow. Well, you know, it was founded in 2014. And over these years, you've seen it grow. And sadly, wars don't end. So people are affected. So do you bring the dogs to people in nursing homes and facilities, their private home? Tell us the process if somebody wanted to see about getting an animal to help their loved one who's suffering from one of these, you know, terrible mind-changing experiences of being in war.
So anyone who needs a service dog, I can tell you it is critical. There are a lot of things that work and there are a lot of things that don't work. We're losing, you know, the numbers are all over the map, anywhere from 17 to 22 veterans a day are taking their lives. And that's not counting overdose. That's not counting a lot of other scenarios. Service dogs, even companion dogs that we place, are really making a significant impact in their lives. So I encourage anyone who has a family member, or if you're struggling and you feel you can benefit from a companion animal or a service animal, to reach out to Paws of War or any organization that does similar things. We also, Vicki, have a hybrid program where our veterans who have service dogs, they are dual purpose, some of them, where they act as therapy dogs, where they're taking them to nursing homes, like you just mentioned, taking them to families who have a sick child or a parent that really can benefit from a therapy dog for an hour. And that's become very successful. We go to nursing homes, we go to the VA, we go to children's camps. And that is working on both ends. So it's working on, let's say we go to a special needs camp for children, but the veteran who's taking his dual-purpose dog or heart dual-purpose dog really feels like they're accomplishing something. They feel like they're giving back again. So it's really working collectively.
Interesting. I love that concept of somebody who has been hurt mentally helping other people who've been hurt, you know, because of birth reasons and have disabilities. So it's extraordinary how there's a help and a help. You know, what is this War-Torn Pups program?
Right now, we have military installations all over the world. And there's nothing worse than having a military member who's deployed, let's say, in the Middle East right now. And we have over 30 cases active trying to get them to America. And the soldier finds this little puppy, and this little puppy is helpless, living in the desert, 125 degrees. Maybe the mom was killed. And that soldier takes that animal in and spends eight, 9 months of his or her tour raising, saving, and loving, and vice versa with this puppy or kitten. And then they have to come back to the United States. They can play no role in that. They have to count on us, Paws of War, to get that animal safely out of that war zone and into America. And then we reunite them.
Remarkable. What a service. I mean, I think it's one of the hidden gems of our world. So how do you support your work? Because it sounds like it's quite involved having something internationally with your reach.
So although we are, I still consider ourselves grassroots. We are here in New York, but because of that global reach and our rescue partners and like-minded supporters that are, you know, helping us get these dogs out of these countries, Syria, Iraq, We become a global footprint, but we are small. We are supported by small and larger donors like corporate sponsors, but we don't receive any government funding. So this is all by private donation. Most of our support comes from private individuals who believe in and have been sticking with us from day one.
Well, I think, you know, you're real. You do it, and when you're doing it, people want to support it.
That's right.
It's not complicated. But I wonder, you know, for you, what advice would you give other people that are trying to start an organization like yours? How do you get started? And what do you think are the secrets you could share of your success?
So obviously, passion is without passion, it's going to take a long, long time. It may never succeed. So the passion, find your passion first, and then find a real need. Find a real need. So if it's a specific area, and in our case, it started out in a very specific area, find that specific area and find what the gap is, where the holes are missing. So there's some tremendous organizations doing some amazing work, but there's certain gaps in what they're doing, services that they're not being able to provide. Find those areas and stay with it. And it will come. And when you're providing a service, whether it's an animal or an individual, stay with it. Don't give up. It is frustrating in the beginning. You almost feel like this will never get better. There's days you wake up, you say, oh my God, how can I get through the next day? But then you get to the point where we want to wake up every day because we know we're helping somebody. We're saving someone's life. We're saving an animal's life. And every day you want to keep doing that again. But in the beginning, it could be a little challenging. Don't give up, especially in this area of non-for-profit animal rescue, helping people with, you know, mental illness. It really pays off. It absolutely does.
Well, I know that I believe that the more you give, the more you get.
There's no question that is an absolute accurate statement.
So I need to know, what do you do for fun?
Well, my fun is when we unload a truck or a van or a car full of cats or dogs that we just rescued from either a puppy mill in Ohio or dogs from Iraq. And that's all fun. I personally don't get the opportunity to take vacations, and I'm okay with that. I really am. My vacation is just spending time with the animals and the families that we help. That makes me feel like I'm on vacation. That's the truth.
Well, you know, I always say, I don't know, is my work my play or is my play my work? You're like,
that's
I am.
Right.
We
that's
really
right.
have a wonderful synergy between our work and our play.
Who knows better than you? Look what you have accomplished. And you attend things that many, many, many people at your level would not attend. But if you didn't, you wouldn't be who you are. So you show up for everything. You thank everybody. And you're a perfect example. You really are.
Well, I think your message of persistence and sticking with something you believe in is something that is critical to success in any field. And you are, Robert Masseri, a great success. And we are so grateful to you for all the wonderful work you do. Thank you for being with me today.
Thank you for having me today, Vicki. You're very special. Thank you.
Thank you. Until next time. Bye now. Victoria Schnepp signing off. See you.